Well, every Friday here on the BPP, we like to try to sum up some of the major events that happened in and around the conflict in Iraq. There are all these bits and pieces of information. It's really hard to kind of keep track of them and know what's important and not. So on Fridays, we like to give you a little compendium of those things. And we call it the Week in Iraq. U.S. soldier and Iraqi civilian deaths have fallen sharply in the past month, according to the latest Associated Press tally.
Deaths among U.S. military personnel fell from 65 in September to 36 in October. Iraqi civilian deaths fell to 875 last month. That's down by 148 from September. Both figures are the lowest monthly death tolls in the past year.
All right, let's turn it back to the U.S. now. It has been a rough few days for the State Department. Earlier in the week, it was revealed the State Department investigators had granted some form of immunity to these folks from Blackwater, USA, the security guards who are under investigation for the killing of 17 Iraqi civilians. The problem was that those investigators from the State Department didn't really have the authority to give this immunity.
And the problem is now this whole thing could put the government's inquiry into legal limbo. But State Department spokesman Sean McCormick insisted this week that the guards were not granted full immunity and what they were given wouldn't let them off the hook.
The Department of State cannot immunize an individual from federal prosecution. And the kinds of, quote, immunity that I've seen reported in the press would not preclude a successful criminal prosecution.
Blackwater, meanwhile, is preparing an aggressive defense of its image and its very lucrative government contracts. The company has hired a team of lobbyists, lawyers, and PR consultants to take up that fight.
Now, back to the State Department. On Wednesday, a minor revolt broke out at a town hall-styled meeting. This is where diplomats voiced some serious concerns to their bosses about this new policy that would force them to serve, some of them, to serve in Iraq, or they would lose their jobs altogether. And Senior Foreign Service Officer Jack Crotty, he's a 36-year State Department veteran. He spoke up at the meeting and he had this to say.
It's one thing if someone believes in what's going on over there and volunteers, but it's another thing to send someone over there on a forced assignment. And I'm sorry, but basically that's a potential death sentence, and you know it.
Ryan Crocker, that's the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, he responded to the objections today while traveling in Dubai. Boy, it's early in Dubai. He already responded to something today in Dubai. He said diplomats who put their safety before that of the U.S. were, quote, in the wrong line of business.
Yeah, and I also reached out to some people who I know who've worked for the State Department to try to get their sense on this whole this uproar in the State Department. And I got an email from a man named Palmer Roselli. He's now working in Afghanistan for the State Department. But before that, he was in Baghdad as a Foreign Service officer. And he really objected to some of what his colleagues were saying. He said it was embarrassing. And he cited the diplomat's oath to work wherever they sent. They signed something that says, you know, when we tell you to go somewhere, you got to go. And he concluded in this email, he said, quote, please realize there are over 2,000 diplomats who have voluntarily served in Baghdad, so we are all not a bunch of cocktail-sipping, pinstripe-wearing, European capital-serving whiners, end quote.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is weird to see this because in the State Department, I get the sense, and you know people that work there, it's a pretty top-down organization, it would seem. People are pretty respectful of the institution, and it seems like it would take a lot for them to step out into the media and say, we are really not down with what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. This is ordinarily a group of folks who don't talk to the press about being disgruntled.
Right.
These are people who signed up to be a Foreign Service officer because they really believe in diplomacy and what you can accomplish to that end. And so the fact that they've spoken out publicly, it really speaks to the fact that they say, hey, the stakes have changed. Our work has changed. This is really dangerous. And the fact that you're forcing us to go over there or make a choice between that and losing our job, you know, that's a big deal. And we don't necessarily want to stand for that.
I had some friends who took the test to try to – the Foreign Service test, I think is what it's called, a couple years ago. And you couldn't – I mean, you had to be the top of the top of the top to really get in. And these are very smart people I know, and they didn't even get a call back. I wonder what the effect might be if it turns out that, you know, there seems to be, based on the polls anyway, a lot of disagreement about this war effort in Iraq, and I wonder if that's going to trickle down to like State Department recruiting numbers. I wonder if it's going to be a lot easier to get a gig there pretty soon.
Yeah, well, that's what is some of this debate. Some of this debate is spurring questions about, is there some politics involved? Is this about personal security, but is it also about people's commitment to the war effort? And so that's definitely something that's come up. So,
all right. Well, listen, Rach, we are hoping at some point in this hour to talk to William Langavisha. He's this guy from Vanity Fair who wrote this amazing article about the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. I think we're having a little trouble tracking Bill down right now.
So we'll find him and –